God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today comes from our gospel reading. The title of today's message is The Fear of Loss. We live in a world, as human beings, where we don't like to lose. We want to win. Even if we're just maintaining ourselves, this is good. But to give up something that we once had is very, very difficult for us, even if we know it's really for the best. None of us want to give up something that belongs to us. We see this as little boys and girls in preschool, and some other little boy and girl comes up and wants to play with our toys. What do? Very often, these little preschoolers get a little defensive. They sit there and say, "No, this is my toy." And then the teacher has to intervene and say, "Can't we share? Isn't it better if we play along together instead of just by ourselves in a corner?" Our human sinful nature is going to say, "No, it's my toy. I'd rather play with it all by ourselves in my corner." But there is intervention here. So it is with our gospel reading and for what we need to hear today. There is a parallel between our Old Testament reading and our gospel reading. Both talk about a vineyard. Both talk about God being the owner of this vineyard, God creating this vineyard, God doing everything possible for this vineyard. And now comes the workers. The workers were chosen to work in this vineyard. They were chosen by God to work in this vineyard. And God blessed the vineyard. Now comes the problem. Did these workers in the vineyard act like preschoolers, fearing the loss, or were they willing to share? In both examples of our Old Testament and our gospel reading for today, you have the workers of the vineyard being fully grown adults, but acting like preschoolers, claiming that this vineyard was theirs. Was it really? The answer is no. It really belonged to God. It was God who blessed the vineyard, God who created the vineyard, and God who chose them to work the vineyard with a particular purpose, to share of its fruits. In our gospel reading, we have the owner of the vineyard coming with messengers, coming with servants, to say, "Hey, it's time for the harvest, it's time to share." They were beaten and they were killed, with eventually the owner's own son coming. This is a beautiful parallel here and how God has sent prophets, pastors, teachers to tell us what we need to hear, to tell us about the graciousness of God and how God produces fruits within us. And what are the people's reaction? They kill, they beat up, they mistreat. Sounds like a bunch of bullies in preschool. However, what does our Lord do then? Near the end of our text, it talks about how God isn't going to put them to a miserable death, but will let out the vineyard to others who will give them the fruits in their season. Jesus was speaking this to the religious leaders of the time. They were the chosen ones. They were living in the vineyard, and they were not producing those fruits. The good news, the gospel out of all of this, is that as Christ came to redeem his people, he started with the people of Israel. Amen. They rejected. The long line of prophets and teachers sent before Christ, they also rejected. And now it comes time for the gospel. The vineyard will be lent out to others. Now you, through Christ, are the chosen ones, chosen by God to work in the vineyard. This is pure gospel. It was given to others. They didn't know how to handle it. It's given to you. Now comes the tough question. What are we going to do? Are we going to allow our sinful nature to follow the same pattern as the previous tenants? Or are we going to bear that fruit and then share that fruit? Are we going to learn from the lessons of the past or just going to repeat them? Again, there will be intervention. You also have pastors and teachers. You also have Christians in your life who encourage you in the faith, encouraging you also to do good works. But what are you going to do? God has given you this faith. He has blessed you. And so what does the fruit of this look like? Well, Paul reminds us what the fruit of the Spirit is. It talks about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. How can Paul name all these attributes of the fruit of the Spirit? Because this is the fruit of God. And if you use this analogy the right way, you know what's happening here. We are God's people. We belong to Him. By holy baptism, He has made us His. He's the one who created us. He's the one who redeemed us. He's the one who continues to keep us in this faith. And so as we are continuing to attach ourselves to Christ, He's the one who feeds us and grows us and nourishes us. What is the response of all of this but producing fruit, and a good fruit, a fruit that looks like the tree, so to speak, looks like God, the author, a fruit filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control. This is the fruit. And so as we look into our lives, do we see that fruit coming up from within us? If we look very carefully and honestly, we might find more of that fear of the loss that preschoolers, and let's just fess up, even us adults have. How many times does fear of loss come into our lives that says, I won't share because I'm going to have to give up something. I won't do this for my fellow human being because then I will have less. Can you ever have less love? Can you ever have less joy? All these things come from God. God has indeed blessed you with many things. Can we not share of ourselves with others around? Or does the fear of loss consume us? Let's do a little bit of a balance check for a moment. You're in a hurry. You're driving in your car. And if you're driving through West Chicago, you know what comes next. Here comes a train, and you have to stop. Does the fear of the loss of time now consume you as you look at your watch and thinking, how long do I have to wait? Does this fear of the loss of time consume you? It sits there and says, is it better for me to drive around or is it better for me to patiently wait? Are we driven to anger because of the trains? Or are we really being driven to anger because of the fear of loss of our time? What happens when our neighbor is in need? Are we willing to lend a hand? Or are we quick to say, no, I'm going to lose some time and effort here that I need to reserve for myself? If we use this parable correctly, we'll note that, yes, God is indeed giving us the vineyard of the gift of eternal life. Amen. He has done everything to prepare us for eternal life, and He is given to us as a free gift. Through holy baptism, we are cleansed by our sins. We are made His children. We belong to Him. Our place in eternal life is guaranteed. Through the reading of the Word, the proclamation of that word, and receiving that word as it comes to us through bread and wine, the very body and blood of Christ, who shares Himself with you, we are fed and nourished. But when the fear of loss comes into our lives, and we start getting stingy with the many fruits that God has indeed blessed us with, now we are in danger of losing, because we are so consumed with ourselves instead of who we belong to. We belong to Christ and Him crucified. We are His servants. Yes, He's going to take care of us. We even pray this in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Fourth petition. Do we not believe it? Do we not trust it? God has indeed given you and blessed you with many things. His love comes down to you, fills you up, so that you may overflow to other people. So why are we holding these gifts hostage? For fear that we might not have enough? Does that mean our God is not all-giving, all-loving? No, it means that we now start worshiping the gifts instead of the giver. Another final checkpoint in our spirituality here. I was doing a little bit of reading on St. Thomas Aquinas, and he challenged me, and which I'm now going to challenge you, to take a look at your prayer life. How many times in our prayer lives does it just become a nice long laundry list for Santa Claus, so to speak? Oh Lord, give me this. Oh Lord, give me that. Oh Lord, give me this. Yes, we can pray for other people, but this is where the real challenge comes from. And I think St. Thomas Aquinas hit it on the head very well when he says, when was the last time, I'm paraphrasing here, that you prayed to be strengthened in Christ? To be attached to Him even more. Let me show you how this fits within our parable. What would happen if the workers sat there and said, let me be workers of the vineyard, producing these grapes, and then letting go of it because my main concern is be producing grapes, to be attached to the vineyard? As Christians, if we understand that correctly, we're going to say it this way. The more I am attached to Christ and His Word, the more I'm not going to be coveting the gifts, being stingy with the gifts, but then sharing Christ and His Word through me to other people, so that they will see through me that joy, that peace, that patience, that kindness, that gentleness, that goodness, that self-control. Even the last hymn that we sang, Fruitful Trees, the Spirit Sowing, makes note of that. When you get a chance, revisit verses or stanzas 3 and 4. As it says, rooted deep in Christ our Master, Christ our pattern and our goal, teach us as the years fly faster, goodness, faith, and self-control. Stanza 4, fruitful trees, the Spirit's tending, may we grow till harvest ceases, till we taste in life unending heaven's love and joy and peace. The fear of loss. It's a motivating factor. But today, as we are attaching ourselves to Christ and His love,
Let us receive gratefully the gifts that He gives. And let us share those gifts to those in need. In His name, amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds to Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.